The psalmist said, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Amen. And may this, our worship, be pleasing in God's sight. We worship God this first Sunday in March. Now let's draw near to our God as we pray. Loving God, who brings your people from darkness to light through the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, we gather together, although we are apart. We gather in hope and in adoration. Be with us as we strive to live your ways. In an age of individualism, fear, greed, and anger, we seek to live in peace with our neighbour, locally and globally. Give us the boldness to love you and all your people more freely and more generously. In the promise of freely given grace and forgiveness, let us in silence bring our own prayers to you, our God. Silence be broken. May we be forgiven and renewed. And may we grow in love today and every day. Amen.
This reading is taken from Exodus. Near the beginning of the Bible, it is helping give guidance to the Israelites who had just come out of Egypt, from out of captivity. Chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods but me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honour your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house, nor shall you covet your neighbour's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. Amen. This reading is taken from John chapter 2. Very near the beginning of John's Gospel, he tells of this episode of Jesus cleansing the temple. It's later on in the other Gospels. It doesn't matter where it is. What matters is that we notice that Jesus got angry at things that happened around about him, things that happened in inappropriate places. From verse 13 of chapter 2. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years and you will raise it up again in 3 days." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Amen.
We worship together from the comfort of our own homes. Over recent weeks, we have touched upon the stories of the covenant being given to God's people. First to Noah, and the great promise of a new generation, a new world being created. And on the top of Mount Ararat, where the ark rested, there we have the first recording of a place being made holy, an altar to God, a place where Noah and his wife and sons and their wives worshipped, a holy, special place. We have also visited recently the story of Abraham and the promise that he would be the father of many nations. As many people as grains of sand on the seashore or stars in the sky. And today our Old Testament story takes us to another great character from that Old Testament, to Moses. Moses, the one who was born and brought up in Egypt and would be called to lead God's people out of Egypt, out from slavery. And a few months into that great journey from slavery in Egypt back home to the Promised Land, that journey that would take them 40 years, near the beginning, a few months into the journey, the time when Moses was given the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words from God that would underpin the way of life for God's people. Those tablets of stone with those 10 words would become for God's people a symbol, more than a symbol, of the very presence of God with them. And when the time came, much later in the time of King Solomon, when the temple was built, the Ark of the Covenant, that presence of God brought within the building. And, well, by the time of Jesus, we've got the temple that has been restored after the great exile and restored again in the time of Herod the Great. Herod had instructed the restoration of the temple, not for his own desire to worship there, but to keep in with God's people, the Jews, during that time. The temple itself had become that place of the presence of God. Fiona mentioned earlier how this New Testament story that we hear today of Jesus in the temple, when he is angered by what he sees around in the marketplace, the place of buying and selling of sheep and pigeons and doves for the sacrificial purposes. And Jesus is justifiably angered. The story, the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, place that account, that story, much nearer the end, and we might think of it during Holy Week, in the last week of Jesus' earthly life. John's Gospel, which is much more thematically and theologically arranged rather than chronologically, places this story almost right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus was certainly not encouraging rioting and any misuse of scripture to justify that is precisely that. It's a misuse. But what is going on here? Maybe it's something about where and how and why we worship. There's a question for us in these times when we have no temples, no churches, no cathedrals, nowhere to go and make a holy place. Where shall we worship? A question that we'll come to again later in John's Gospel. To the woman, the Samaritan, that Jesus encountered by the well, the conversation about where God is to be worshipped, and Jesus said, there'll come a time when you worship neither on your Mount Gerizim or in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. God is not in the building. The church has left the building. Some of the things that we hear said in these times. And when Jesus was so angered in the temple, Jesus, as the very embodiment of God, God incarnate with us here on earth, God is there in the temple and sees all that is not right. The focus that has been put on buildings and sacrifice and rules and doing the right things and missing what it's all about. That God has come to fulfill the covenant promise that, if you want to summarize it in one word, is love. Love. In recent times around the church, so many conversations locally, at presbytery level, nationally, conversations about how we can be the church when there are no church buildings that we're able to go to, when buildings cannot be the centre of what we do. What lessons have we learned in these times? What is God saying to us in these times as we are worshiping in our homes, as we have to recalibrate what it means to be church, to be Christ's follower? For God's call to us is a call to life, and a life that we want to share in love and in mission, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, not buildings and rules. To take us back to the 10 words on Mount Sinai, 10 words, they weren't rules and regulations for God's people, but a summary of a way of life that would call people to live in the awareness of God's presence with them 24/7.
not just on the mountaintop experience, not just for an hour's worship in the temple or the church or even in front of a computer screen. A way of life in which God was saying, I have given you enough, and you don't need to fill every day with doing things, however holy they might be, and you can take a day off, a time to rest and be renewed. God gives enough, and we don't need to take from another their life, their possessions, their worth. 10 words to summarize the freedom to live. Remember, this was God's people leaving 400 years of slavery in Egypt and moving forward in difficult times, but knowing that God's presence was with them, and they were being called to life. Jesus was angry in the temple because he saw the disconnect in what religion had become: rules, sacrifice, buildings, particular times, and Jesus, God incarnate, there in their midst, is saying, and can't you recognize? Can you recognize God when God is here with you? And you think God is in the building, in the rules, in the regulations, in the sacrifice, in the way it has I been? No, Jesus says, come with me and journey forwards. So as we worship in our homes, here's a word for our now, for our here. As we move forward, because we're not going back to normal, whatever normal was, as we move forward into the ever-changing Church of Jesus Christ, know that God is with you wherever you are, and you are part of Christ's church wherever you are, whoever you are. Amen.
One of the hymns suggested in the resource materials for today is the hymn 263 from CH4. It's a heartfelt plea to us all to be more aware of what goes on around us and in the world. It's a raw prayer for the world, and one that fits strongly into the idea of Jesus being angry today. I use it as the basis for this prayer. Let's pray. God, O God, we look around us and in great sadness see what goes on. We feel helpless in the face of so much that is wrong. And yet, God, we are encouraged to cry out at what we see. Jesus left us the Holy Spirit. It's within us. It's nudging us and prompting us to care and do what we can. We are part of the world. And as followers of Jesus, faithful, God, to your values and concerns, moved by your Spirit, we are also part of your solution. It is through each and every one who believes in you, God, that change will happen. You are God of freedom. You are God of justice. God whose love is strong as death. You are Jesus, who saw the dark of prison. Jesus, who knew the price of faith. You are the Spirit who groans at this world of sad oppression, and you breathe the Spirit of healing into life. Almighty, awesome, powerful, God, rid the earth of torture and terror. Hear the cries of pain and protest. You who shed tears at pain and grief, move us to look beyond ourselves. May the power of pity pursue us to do common good for all. Make us captive consciences, quick to hear, to act, to plead for our sisters and our brothers of whatever race or creed. Teach us that as we open our hearts to each other, we become more fully human and more fully as you would have us be. O God, we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Spirit. Amen.
With our prayers, we bring our offerings, we bring our gifts of money in the different ways that we are able to continue to do that during these times of lockdown. There are details on the church website. Thank you. Thank you for your gifts of money. Thank you also for the gifts of time and commitment and ability in so many different ways as we seek to continue to be the Church of Jesus Christ in these difficult times for us all. We bring our offerings and we ask that they be used wisely to build up the church and the kingdom. And we bring all our prayers, all our dedication together as we say the words that Jesus taught. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The church is not a building.
as our worship ends, may you know of God's blessing from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with you, with all those you love, today, tomorrow, and always. Amen. I hope that many of you were able to watch some of the material produced for the World Day of Prayer, which was on Friday, the first Friday of March. The service produced by the Scottish World Day of Prayer Committee is still available to watch, and there'll be a link from the website. And there was also a brief video that I put together, including some lovely video from Ardgour, where some of the children had been telling that story of the wise and foolish builders and building their house on rock and then on sand. And you've got to watch and see what happens when the rains came down and the floods came up. God bless you all.